We begin our sermon series on the book of Ruth today, looking at the first chapter. As I mentioned in our welcome this morning, I would like to challenge you to read through the book of Ruth over the next several weeks and listen to or hear, or however you want to use whatever sense you are using, what Ruth is telling us or what is being told to us in this book. In particular, our identity. How do we identify to the characters in the story, as well as how do we identify to who we are in our own lives? Please stand for the reading as you are able. Our reading from the first chapter of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab. He and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Clinton. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took Moabite wives. The name of one is Orpah, and the other was named Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons, and her husband, Naomi, had her daughters-in-law. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go away, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave or turn back from you following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well. If even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, but Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back from the country of Moab. They were in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, as we come to reflect upon your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. This statement from Ruth to Naomi is probably the most famous verse in all of the book of Ruth. It is a verse of encouragement, of commitment, and obedience to Naomi, to Naomi's people, and to Naomi's God. They are words of living life together. Now, one thing we need to keep in mind as we go and we look at the story of Ruth is names and what the names mean, and keep that in mind as you read through Ruth through the next week. But also what we need to keep in mind, particularly this week, is the relationship between not just Ruth and Naomi, but the relationship between Ruth the Moabite and Naomi the Israelite. Because the Israelites saw or were instructed not to have anything to do with the Moabites. In fact, as you read through Old Testament scripture, you will hear, you will see that the Moabites were considered to be enemies. And God, through his discussion or his dialogue or his law with Israel, told them to have no contact with them. Why would that be? Why would God say not to have any contact with the Moabites? So the Moabites are the descendants of Moab. Moab is the son of Lot and his oldest daughter. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 19, verse 37. They were not to have anything to do with them in a life together because of the risks that come in that relationship. The risk of one might give up God, the Israelite God, for the Moabite gods. And so the relationship between a daughter-in-law who is a Moabite and a mother-in-law who is an Israelite seems improbable. So how did a Moabite woman become the daughter-in-law of an Israelite woman? Well, it all begins in chapter 1, verse 1. Here we read and we heard that in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem of Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Our story of Ruth takes place during the time of judges. Judges were those who shepherded Israel, taught Israel based off of the Torah, God's law. Israel had no king, no royalty, like other peoples around them. They were centered and guided and directed by Torah, by law. And it's in this sense that the man of Bethlehem comes into our midst. Now, the man in Bethlehem, and we need to back up a little bit here and look at our story and keep in mind the whole context of Scripture and what Bethlehem is to Scripture. Bethlehem means the house of bread, the house of food. It is known as the city of David, a very prominent king for Israel. It is also where God comes to us incarnate and is born. So the kingship of Israel, the kingship of you and I, our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings, is centering around Bethlehem. And I ask you to keep that in mind as you go through the story of Ruth, as you hear the story of Ruth, because it is a story of life together, centered upon God as king. So this man leaves the house of bread during a famine. There's no food there, no eating, and he goes to a foreign land, and he goes and he takes his family with him as he goes from the house of bread. Now, the man's name is Elimelech. Elimelech means My God is king. My God is king. If my God is king, I don't need to reside in a city of where a king protects me. God will protect and take care of me. So in that faith, trust, and confidence, Elimelech gathers up his family and heads off to a foreign land. He heads off with his wife, Naomi, which means pleasant, and his two sons, Mahlon, which means sickness, and Chilion, meaning wasting away. And they go to a foreign land, and the foreign land that they end up in residing, people that God has called off limits. Seems like all sorts of things are going wrong. All things could go wrong. But that's where they are. And while they're in that land, while in Moab, my God is king dies and leaves Pleasant with her two sons, sickness and wasting away. Pleasant, or Naomi, still has a way of making a living in the foreign land. She still has support. Her sons are there to take care of her, to love her, and they have food. Eventually, her sons take two Moabite women, Orpah, which means back of the neck, and Ruth, which can mean friend or companion, as their wives. And after about 10 years of living in that land where the Israelites are not to have any contact with Moabites, but they do, where they have contacts with the Gentiles, Naomi's sons die. With the death of Naomi's sons, there is no means of support. Her husband is gone, her sons are gone, and the household is left with Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. But while they're living in that land, Naomi gets word that back in Judah, back in Bethlehem, food has become available. The famine is over. And so with her daughters-in-law and lots of conversation back and forth, she decides to head with them back to Judah, back to her homeland, where hopefully she can find support, where she can find a life together. So the three women, dangerous as it is, head off to Judah. Now, as they're going back to Judah, we have to keep in mind that two of the women, the daughters-in-law that are going with Naomi back there, are really foreigners. What is the hospitality that Judah, that the Israelites are going to give to the Moabites? The Moabites and her daughters-in-laws provided her with great hospitality. There is no word of dysfunction or conflict or dissent. It seems like they were living fairly content lives. But as they go back into Israel, back into Judah, what are they going to run into? What is to be expected? You can imagine all the questions that are going to be asked as they enter into the land. I mean, the first time you brought a friend over to the house, boyfriend, girlfriend, or just a friend in elementary school, were a lot of questions asked by parents? Or did parents have conversation amongst themselves? Who is this individual? And do we trust? How do we be hospitable with them? Those are normal questions. Those are questions in which we have in life. They're questions of identity, and that's really what's going on in the book of Ruth, dealing with what is Israelite identity, what is Moabite identity, and how do we live with our identities that we have in life? How do we live with one another? How do we form our life together? How are we governed by God's law and God's hospitality with one another? How do we live as God's people in the world? to get back to Judah, and because of those questions that are being asked, and because Naomi wants to care for her daughters-in-law, she doesn't want to put them at risk any more so than what they need to be at risk. She tells them to return home. She's concerned about them. They need husbands. They need to have children. They need a different life together, because what is possible may be impossible. They may not be welcome. They may be at risk. So Naomi says, I know we've been together and we've had a great life together, but you need to go back. One daughter-in-law responds by returning to Moab. The other daughter-in-law, Ruth, responds by clinging to Naomi and declaring to her, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. In this improbable story, where all things are against one another, Israelites and Moabites, women on their own, traveling and trying to find a way to live life together, we find hospitality. We find a life together, not rooted in one's identity, but rooted in God. Rooted in not dialogue, but being neighborly. See, when we have dialogue, most of the time it's two sides sitting down and having a discussion about, from their particular identity, about what's taking place. That's what negotiations are. Each brings their own set of circumstances and expectations to the table. But in neighborliness, we have sitting down, we have having a meal together, we have looking across the table and engaging in life with one another. It is more about, it's more not about conversation, but it is about how do we live with one another. It's somewhat what the conversation is we're having now here at Hollywood Presbyterian. As you search for a new called pastor, searching is actually asking is who we are. Who is God calling us to be? Not so much what God's calling us to do, but who is God calling us to be? What is our identity as a people of God here at the corner of Carlos and Gower? Who are we? And we run into that discussion all the time in life, whether it's what we're reading through Facebook, news media, streams we receive. It ranges everything from family that's shared, or the pandemic, or the conduct historically of individuals in our lives and in the world. It's all part of the transition process, and it's become larger even today as we look at it as a church. Because how we identify, how you identify who you are, will determine the type of called senior pastor you are going to have. It's more than conversation. It's about being neighborly with one another. How are we neighborly with one another? How do we live in a life together as followers of Jesus Christ? And who are we as the people of God? Now, I know we have all have different life experiences, and we bring all those life experiences together. And those life experiences change who we are and how we think from time to time. They impact us. They shape us. So does the reading of Scripture and prayer and gathering together as a community. It's through that gathering as a community and reading of Scripture and prayer that we are shaped, or it's a lens through which we interpret the experiences of our lives. I was greatly impacted as a 22-year-old or as a college student at the University of Minnesota when I was working in the anatomy department, taking care of the cadavers for the medical school as I studied to become a mortician, an embalmer, a funeral director. My life was completely different in experiences with the majority of the students on campus. How could it not be? I handled and worked with over 300 human remains on a yearly basis. My view of life was different than a lot of theirs. and respect for life and understanding where we were at. So it is with our own individual lives. I am not the same person I was then as I am today because of some of life's experiences and how I've interpreted those life's experiences through prayer and worship and scripture. You and I as a congregation here are in that same position. How do we interpret our experiences in life through the lens of scripture, through the lens of our identity, of going together where one another has been, lodging together, worshiping together, all drives to where we are and what we are doing. That's what the Book of Ruth does for us. The Book of Ruth challenges us to take a look at our life experiences, the life experience of Ruth and Naomi, and how they were changed in being neighborly with one another. Not necessarily having a conversation, but being neighborly with one another. It's a question of identity. To whom does one belong? For Ruth and Naomi, is one, what makes one an Israelite and what makes one a Moabite? And it's the problem of identity that encompasses all of our behavior and where we are at today. How we identify ourselves is how we align ourselves, it seems. Not that the organizations we belong to, and we all belong to a variety of different organizations and even subgroups, even here within the church. But it's more than belonging there. It's how we belong together and live life together. How do we identify with one another? How do we live a life together, going wherever you go, I will go, wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. How do the communities that you belong to, from variety of Bible studies here at church, or as an elder sitting on session, or a deacon, or a congregant, or the communities that you belong to from work, to guilds, to nonprofits, or whatever you belong to outside of church. How do you intersect those? How do they impact your view of life, your identity? For our identity, as we learn from Ruth and Naomi, is an identity that is rooted in neighborliness. It's an identity that is rooted in God. How do those intersect for you? How are you a good neighbor in the communities that you belong to? What shapes, as a community of faith here, our life together? Our life together should be shaped by neighborliness. And that's what we are taught by Ruth. And that's our challenge for this next week, our challenge throughout this series of Ruth. Our challenge as we journey together in the transition process of calling a new senior pastor is one of neighborliness. What joins us together instead of what divides us? What pulls us together as opposed to what separates us? God has called us to this place at this time to be neighbors to one another, to be neighbors to those outside our church. That is our call. That is where God has us. The question that we struggle with is we get wrapped up into our own identities instead of looking at the other and loving one another as a neighbor. So over this next week, take time and reflect as you read the Book of Ruth. How are you a neighbor with one another? To God be the glory now and forever. Amen.